Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, this for my dogs from the east to the west side. Rocket brown and orange with me, baby. Let's ride. Represent the land. Let them know. Tell them, here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. I'm Allie Heisong, coming at you live from Pensacola, Florida. Join with me, as always, out in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. We've got Dustin. Dustin, what's going on?
You know, I thought I'd be over this by Wednesday. I'm not. I'm not over this, people. I'm not over this, but we'll get into this. Allie and I have a lot to dissect, go over, talk about, rehash, get happy, get angry. It's Browns crappy football on Sunday, and here we are on Wednesday, and this is dragging out into the week. The presser today was weird. It was clunky. I'm just saying it. This reminds me of the old Browns, Allie. I'm just putting it out there. We talked about that before the show started, but this looked a lot like the old Brownies back in the day.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start, everybody. I mean, frankly, there's a lot to talk about, and a lot of things are difficult to talk about. And what we are going to do is report what we know. That's it. Especially when it comes to the Deshaun Watson stuff. You know, we're not here to make any speculations. I know that there are some conspiracy theories out there right now that certain things are coming out to get out of the contract, you know, so on and so forth. There's a lot of angles that this can, that people can take this. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to tell you what we know. Nonetheless, this is hard. When all of this happened, at first, when the Browns made the trade for Deshaun Watson, you know, we had to come on here and say, like, this isn't fun. This is not a good thing to talk about as a woman in sports podcasting about it. Like, it's not enjoyable. Right. Still isn't. Years later, this is still really difficult to do. And we've got to talk about it. I think that's the elephant in the room right now. Is we can talk a little bit of that, and then I want to get off of it and go straight into Browns football. We're going to welcome on Joe Hayden here in just a little bit. Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, there's another allegation at Deshaun Watson. This is different. What you need to know is previously all of the allegations against Deshaun Watson were sexual harassment. This is a sexual assault, and battery. This is different. And there are different repercussions with this. So that's what you need to know. This is different than it was before. The investigator that was on the case last time that suggested and recommended that Deshaun Watson be suspended in the 12 games that he was, is also on this case. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. We don't know. But nonetheless, Dustin, it's not fun.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It is a different case, right? It is different. It's not part of that. And I know many national, local folks have talked about this, specifically about paragraph 42 in his contract. And that is, if you did not disclose this recent incident that happened and you didn't divulge that to the Browns, that gives the Browns basically an out and say, hey, look, you didn't make us aware of this situation. It was, should have been put in writing. And of course, if that was the case, the Browns, from what everybody reads, the Browns can walk away from the rest of the guaranteed money in his contract, is what I take away from that. Now, we also know the NFL is going to look at this through their conduct policy. It's not going to be on the commissioner's exemption list. This is going to go through the conduct policy thing. But this is the last thing the Cleveland Browns needed to deal with after a Sunday horrible loss. And yes, there are some conspiracy theorists out there. But I will tell you, Mike Florio, you know, has not always been the biggest fan of Deshaun Watson with NBC Sports. And he reported, like, hey, look, I thought this was all behind us, right? And then the story broke. I wasn't aware of this. I didn't know about this till everybody else was. So it makes me wonder that it is new, and I don't know.
The timing is interesting. But we don't know. And that's as far as we're going to take it. We're just going to report the facts of what we know. This does open up some different avenues potentially for the organization down the line. I would expect more news to come of this here in the next few days, but that's what we know right here, right now. Addressing the other elephant in the room, we've got to talk about it. That was nasty on Sunday, Dustin. Yeah. That was not good. And this is not a fun podcast to do. This is not fun anytime after a loss, but especially off of such a deflating loss, where several things are in question. One, the play of Deshaun Watson. Two, Kevin Stefanski and the decisions that he made throughout this game. Three, the effort by the defense. And four, just effort all around. I did not come away, and five, special teams wasn't good either. I did not come away from this game and had really any optimistic feeling, saying, well, you know what, this person looked really good, like this is going to get corrected. No, given the injuries and just the overall play, it was a really tough watch. Now, I don't want to like just harp too much on it, because yeah, we were playing another game on Sunday and we're going to be really excited about that. But you know, week one, when you had all off season to prepare, it was very disheartening and jarring, honestly, to see that was what the performance was.
Well, I will tell you this, Allie, I watched the Stump Talk podcast last night. You know, we're excited to have him as part of our network. And he brought up a really interesting point. Like, Kevin Stefanski needs to run his offense and not worry about trying to alter an offense to that quarterback's strengths or weaknesses. Just find a quarterback that can play within your system and your offense will be successful. And I thought that was a very telling thing that I took away from that interview that you had with Stump, that Coach Stump, that really at the end of the day, that's how you're successful. And you know, a lot of the talking heads have said, you know, Jameson can run that offense, right? Like, he knows how to do that, right? And so that is kind of the elephant in the room. At what point do you have to kind of say, okay, look, this isn't working, the experiment's over? Just to double down on that, I was a little confused by the press conference today from Deshaun Watson, and where he said, this may take a few weeks to get worked up. Well, what the hell? Isn't that what the preseason's for?
Yeah.
Isn't that what training camp is for? I mean, you know. Go ahead.
Let's talk about that. We have, talking about the preseason, going back a couple of weeks, we said, you know what, it doesn't really matter that some of these starters aren't playing because, you know, it's the preseason. You don't want to, like, throw them out there for risk of injury. However, even last week or maybe the week prior, I made the point of, look, the first couple of weeks, it's a lot like the preseason. You're going to see some teams ironing things out. But that performance is different. To come in with not much of a game plan and stopping Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, my God, statistically, they weren't great. It's not a great offense. But to come in and not only not be able to execute at all offensively, not be able to do anything, drive the ball down the field, let alone dink and dunk it here and there, couldn't even do that. Well, but that aside, the pre-snap penalties and just the lack of effort, what was the preseason for? The preseason is to iron out some of those deficiencies and figure out your pre-snap movement, where you need to line up on the line of scrimmage, and to have that many penalties, that was alarming.
Well, and let's double down on that, where everybody said, well, you know, it was the preseason, you know, the starters didn't play. Newsflash, none of the starters played for the Dallas Cowboys in the preseason.
Yeah.
And they looked like they could fundamentally run an offense. They didn't have a ton of penalties. They didn't, you know, and I guess my biggest concern is it just doesn't look right with Deshaun. You know what I mean?
No, like, it doesn't.
And I had the eyeball test, you know, I could see it, and there was check down opportunities where you just get rid of the ball, right? You just throw it away and you don't take a 10 or 12 yard loss. Now, full disclosure, Deshaun had an okay day stat wise because, you know, the game got away. They didn't, I think the Cowboys kind of took the gas off in the second half.
Definitely. Yeah.
But the tackles were not giving him any, I mean, the tackles were just, I mean, he was running for his life. So, yeah. I mean, it was a combination of things where, okay, if my tackles are going to suck today, I need to readjust, right? I need to rethink my game plan out here so I don't get killed at the quarterback position, because he got, I believe, hit 17 times in this game, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was an astronomical number. And we all know that any quarterback that get hit that many times, and, you know, Kevin Stefanski was even asked, hey, why didn't you pull him at some point? Because now you're just risking him getting, like, just hurt. Mm-hmm. And he goes, actually, I actually contemplated pulling him. And so obviously that was on his mind to do that. But we know that would have created a huge can of worms if that would have happened. Yeah. And all those things. But at the end of the day, the defense, in my opinion, didn't play that bad based on what was given to them. I mean, other than a couple big chunk plays they give, other than that, I mean, they kind of played within themselves. But man, when you're out there a lot more than the offense is, you know how that is. At some point, you just can't, you can't chase it anymore, right? You're just gassed. You know, Smith, Miles, you know, those guys, all, you know, the front got sacks, but at some point you can't do it all. You know what I mean? And you can't rely on your defense to do it all. And especially when you get behind that many points, that's devastating, in my opinion.
Right.
When you're down that many points, I mean, Ali, this will make you laugh. But I literally looked at my phone and I said, yep, the biggest comeback at home for the Browns in the history of the franchise is 20 points. I looked at my phone and said, the Browns are down by 21 points. They would have to come back and have the biggest comeback at home. I mean, you just kind of knew, right? Like, it was kind of over.
It just didn't look right. It was deflating. And George, did we even throw over 25 yard passes? Actually, no. Deshaun Watson was 0 for 10 when passing for more than 15 yards in the air. 0 for 10. It was, according to this site, it was the worst over on those throws by any quarterback in the game since 2006 when air yards were first tracked. So, no, we could not throw the ball down the field. At all. He was averaging, what was he averaging? Like 3 yards a pass. Here's the stat line. He was 24 of 45 with a 53.3 completion percentage for 169 yards, averaging 3.8 per pass, one touchdown, two interceptions. So,
well, he just looks skittish out there to me. He just looked skittish. Like, he didn't look like a polished quarterback that you typically want to see behind center. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. I don't know if you saw this, Ali, but the Browns have actually called allegedly to the Indianapolis Colts to see if Joe Flacco's availability. And I'm like, okay, that's just, who knows, right? He's not starting, so clearly he's available. But I don't know.
Go ahead.
And I said, and then, of course, Baker Mayfield has a 4-touchdown game to put that in interest. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Allie, you'll get a big kick out of this. Ken Carmen took his first.
Oh, I know. I saw it. I heard it. I know. I know that's the easy conversation to have. Like, look what Baker did. Look what Deshaun did. But, you know, I get it. As fans, not many of us wanted this trade to happen. Not many of us did. And now we're stuck with it. And you and I have to talk about it. And when it's bad, it's really, really bad. Now, one thing in terms of optimism, I don't think that they're going to go into Jacksonville with just a really, really, for lack of better words, piss poor performance again. They were embarrassed on Sunday, and rightfully so, for many reasons, also effort including. I would imagine that'll get them fired up at least a little bit to go in and put something halfway decent on tape, right? This is a good football team. At the end of the day, this is a good football team with good skill position players, a good defense. And you need to be able to, as a good team, fall back on those things when everything is going awry. You need to be able to fall back on your fundamentals, fall back on your identity. Now, I know that Nick Chubb's still not here, and that was the heart and soul of this team prior to his injury, but there's still a lot of good here. You still have a lot of veterans on the offensive line. The tackles are going to be practicing. A defense that was best in the league last year. There are some good things to fall back on. It's just you got embarrassed, and there was no way of coming back from it, and it just was – it was nasty. It was nasty.
Well, and here's the thing. You're right. When teams get embarrassed, they kind of want to make up for that, and they come at it. But here's the problem. You have a Jacksonville Jaguars team that also lost, right? Neither one of these franchises wants to start the season 0-2. Like – at all, right? That's not a good look. It's not a good way to start a season. So I can tell you this much. I feel pretty confident that the defense will come lights out come Sunday. Yeah. I feel pretty confident about that. I think the likes of Thornhill and Myles Garrett and JOK and a lot of those other guys are going to bring their game on Sunday, right? But I don't know about the offense. I sit there and I almost like, I kind of like, did I just hear what I thought I heard when he said, this may take a few weeks to figure out. No, we're in week two. You're done figuring it out. That's what the preseason's for.
No, it will be a no-go on one Thornhill. He's on the IR. That will not be the case there. We'll talk to David here in just a little bit about the injury report. But just quickly before we welcome on Joe Hayden here in just a little bit, we have placed four players on the IR: Mumad Diabate with a hip, Tony Fields with an ankle, Mo Hurst with an ankle, and one Thornhill with a calf. Signed to the active roster: David Bell, Mike Ford Jr., Kaliki Hudson, and Sam Kamara. Signed to the practice squad: Siaka Ika, Jeff Swaim, and Luigi Villain. So we'll talk about that here a little bit more in depth when we bring David on. But, you know, Dustin, what in your opinion has to happen outside of just an effort perspective, right? What has to happen going into Jacksonville on Sunday to not only come away with a win, but to come away where we're like, you know what, that looked good. Feel better as a Browns fan.
It just has to look somewhat normal. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, everything I saw on Sunday just looked out of sync, right? It just didn't look right. The team didn't look right. The penalties were huge. You know, first and 15, you know, second and 20. When you're behind the sticks that much, that's really hard. So honestly, just clean up the penalties. I mean, that's a big thing for me, because at least give your offense a chance. And honestly, if you have to simplify the offense a little bit, so we're not doing all these, you know, crazy things, maybe that's what we need to do, is go down there and just play. I'm not saying vanilla football, but just move the chains, right? At the end of the day, that's all I want to see, is just, you know, go down the field and just play your type of football. I mean, I don't think it's that hard to do.
Well, I think that's another reason why so many people, ourselves included, are frustrated, because they couldn't even do that. They couldn't even move the chains when the opportunities were there, right? You've got Elijah Moore, you know, on a hook route that's available, and Deshaun misses him. Now, it was a drop is what it was registered as, or recorded as, excuse me, but it was a miss by Deshaun Watson. Now, when you kind of put all of those things aside, George here has a good comment. Who on offense are straight studs, especially now without David Njoku? And without your heart and soul, Nick Chubb, you start to become a little bit concerned. Yes, we know that the Browns are going to run, you know, a lot of 11 personnel. We know that they're going to be, we saw not only trips option, but quads options with all of the receivers out there. We're going to see a lot of that, I think, over the course of the next few weeks. But that is a good question, George. Who is going to be that threat? Now, we know who Amari Cooper is. We started to see who Jerry Jeudy was. But none of that matters if Deshaun Watson can't get them the ball.
Right.
So, yeah, that was tough. That was pretty tough. Now, Dustin, real quick, why don't you tell our listeners about True Fan Travel?
Guys, True Fan Travel, if you've not booked your trip or any of the stuff for the trip to Vegas, go to truefantravel.com right now to do that. Join me in Vegas as we go into the Q&A, to the party, to the pregame, to all the wonderful things that are all entailing in Las Vegas. Because, by the way, at the end of the day, win or lose, Vegas is always fun. And who would you not rather be around than all these wonderful Browns fans? Go to truefantravel.com. But more importantly, New Orleans is coming up. That's a big trip. They have the charter flight with Kevin Mack, our friend of the program. We'll be coming on that trip. And you get to go on a nice, fun boat ride. Your ticket's included, so you can take the fare. But again, if you've already done all that, there's some a la carte stuff you can do to join and do it separately. You know, if you've already got your ticket and stuff like that, they make it pretty easy for you. Fun group of people. Excited to be out in Vegas here in a little over 2 weeks, which is crazy to think. But yeah.
Yeah, really is. Also, if you don't have stadium mustard in your kitchen this season, you are doing it wrong. The iconic brand, the iconic taste, flow from ballparks to backyards and everywhere in between. Stadium mustard is a smooth brown mustard, rich in both taste and tradition. By the way, it's loved by millions. So be sure to head on over to stadiummustard.com to shop now. And I just realized I did not put the graphic up for Stadium Mustard, but you all know what it looks like.
By the way, speaking of Stadium Mustard, Allie,
yeah,
did you watch any of the Fox pregame stuff? And did you see what they did?
I did not.
They did an entire story on with Bill and Stadium Mustard. They did a whole little story about Stadium Mustard on Fox Sports. Like great things in Cleveland. So I'll share that video with you. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty cool. They're like, Cleveland has had heartache. Cleveland has had, you know, ups and downs. But through all of this, they've had their stadium mustered. So it was kind of, it was a really cool piece, but the Fox Sports did that. So
while we're waiting on Joe to join us, I know it's hard to do because Sunday was just a disaster in every category. But if we had to be positive about something, you know, maybe hand out some game balls to us, and who are you giving them to?
For this last Sunday?
For the only Sunday the Browns have played this year.
Well, no, I'm just thinking like nobody. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, the defensive line. I mean, you know, the defensive line, in my opinion, if I had to give a game ball, I'd give it to the defensive line because they, you know, for a while there, they were doing their job, sacking, causing penetration. Again, to your point, Allie, Dak Prescott didn't have a great day. He had just an okay day, right? And he was still able to beat us. So I really do think, for the most part, the defensive line did their job. So I would actually give the game ball to the defensive line because all the three of those guys got sacks on Sunday. So I'd give it to the defensive
line. Yeah, I think it's easy to say, you know, the defense didn't look too bad. But something to understand and remember was, you know, the second half of that game, Cowboys really took their foot off of the gas in a big way. Mm-hmm. I think they gained like an extra 30, 40 total yards in the second half. So they really slowed things down. This could have been even worse than it was, but it's easy to say that the defense looked pretty good in the second half. But overall, like, I wasn't completely heartbroken by this defense, by the defensive performance. I think that there are some things to clean up, but going back to my point of the preseason, right, that there are going to be certain things that have to get ironed out. But I guess if we do have to be optimistic about anything, I guess it's that. But I agree with you, Jason. It is Justin Hopkins. He was Mr. Consistent. Not that he had a ton of opportunities, but yeah, not great.
He was the only happy Justin in that stadium on Sunday, I can tell you that much.
Now, as we look ahead to Jacksonville, we already mentioned a couple of things that we think have to change in order for things just to not even come away with the win, just look right. What are some of those points, Dustin, that you think that the Browns have to really focus in on Sunday to come away with a win?
I honestly think, and they didn't do it this last Sunday, but mm-hmm. if they can have time of possession in this game, that could be a key. And what I mean is if they can have the ball longer than the opponent in this situation and give the offense more opportunities and put Jacksonville in a place of uncomfortableness in this game. And honestly, the keys to victory, I think if the Browns score 24 points in this game, as weird as that sounds, I just don't see Jacksonville putting out a lot of offense. If they get to 21-24, if the Browns can just put that's a key to victory, in my opinion. If they can put 21 to 24 points on the board here, they're probably winning this football game because I don't think our defense will give up that much in this game. So I think that would be my key, is get three or more touchdowns, and I think you have a great chance of winning this football game. I don't care how you get them, but get 21 points or more in this football game.
So you mentioned you think that the defense, you know, will not allow the Jags to score in the manner that they let the Cowboys score. What indications do you have that make you believe that?
Well, you brought up a good point. They're embarrassed, right? And we know this about this Browns defense in the past. We've sat here and said they get gassed in one game, and then the very next game, what are they, Allie? They're lights out, right? We've seen that from this defense in the past. So I really just think they're going to come just with a different attitude and a different way of thinking in this football game than they did last week, because I just think they felt embarrassed as a football program. And I don't know if you saw what Myles Garrett said when people asked him about everybody booing. He goes, they deserve to boo at us. We basically played like crap. And if we play great, they should cheer. So I think that kind of pissed offness is going to roll over into Sunday and being pissed off. I think that will be the key to them playing better. I mean, just, and here's the thing, more than anything, no team wants to start the season 0-2. And I can't stress that hard. You know, if you go 0-2, the chances of making the playoffs, as we all know, those numbers start to get increasingly worse for you to have a shot at making the playoffs. And if this team, which I do believe they still have, obviously are aspiring to make the playoffs this year and be competitive for at least a wild card spot, it's almost as a must win in week two, as weird as that sounds, Allie.
I guess my frustration with the defense is, one, I'm it still wasn't good. Like, we look at it's Sunday, it still wasn't a good performance. I mean, Eric, I see your comment in here. They gave up 33 points. Like, yeah, it's still wasn't good. I think one of my biggest complaints with this defense, and even going back to last year, is they are so hyper-focused on playing off of emotion. And when the emotion's swinging in their direction, right, it's lights out. Yeah. It's great. They're able to really hone in and play with their hair on fire. And, you know, they're the best defense in the league. But when things aren't going their way and they get deflated, they're playing with bad emotion, bad attitude. Yeah. And that doesn't translate. And my point earlier on was you have to have something that you can fall back onto. And when we had Nick Chubb, it was we could lean into Nick Chubb to help us save us, Nick Chubb, or the defense, help us save us defense. And when Browns players rely so heavily on emotion, when a team is able to completely suffocate them, what can we fall back on? You know, you can't rely on emotion alone to win your football games.
No. And you're right. When this team has been on a high emotionally, they are lights out. This defense is very much lights out. Yeah. It's hard because here's where it's hard for me to judge game two, because so much looked wrong in game one, right? Like, it was like, it wasn't one person. It was a collective problem, right? You had penalties. You had big plays given up to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you had Deshaun playing like crap. You know what I mean? There were so many things that you could say, well, it wasn't just one thing, right? It was multiple things in this football game that just went wrong. So that's my biggest concern, is you have 4 days to fix it, 5 days, you know, with your day off to fix it and have it look somewhat right on Sunday, you know, against.
Another complaint I have, they can't stop a jet sweep. I understand CeeDee Lamb is CeeDee Lamb, but you can't stop a jet sweep. I mean, some of this is elementary,
well,
right?
Maybe the new guy we got from, you know, the former Kansas City Chief guy could start doing some sweeps, and we can try some jet sweeps and see if we can.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to look like. I'm curious to see how they respond. And I know we all are. I know that everybody is going to be watching this game because Browns are getting absolutely shredded by national media, and rightfully so. Rightfully so.
And here's what we knew, Hallie. If the Browns had a good game on Sunday, the national media would be like, good job. You were favored. You won the game. If Dallas killed us or had a great game, we knew the national media would do it. I mean, we knew this would be coming. Because this game was, like I said, watched by 95% of America as the late game on Sunday. Like, everybody saw this game. We were on display, and our sheer crappiness on Sunday was on full display for the nation. If I'm a sports writer on Monday, I've got bulletin board material. You know, I don't even have to worry about my writing of my stuff.
And I think it just goes back to, what were we doing this offseason? Like, how can you come into this game so unprepared? And I mean, I know we just dogged on Stefanski and like the offense for a while, but like, even to the defense, you can't even do any disguises. I mean, right. It is so basic out there. I'm it's concerning to know, like, what were you doing this whole time? What was happening this entire offseason in training camp? So I don't know. It was just bad all around. I'm glad that it's over with, because you're right. Normally by Wednesday, I'm like, look, we got another week ahead of us. You know, it's put that one aside and let's look ahead to Jacksonville. It's really hard to do that right now. I'm still pissed. I'm still just, I don't feel good about it. It left such a bad taste in my mouth. And like, any time that the Browns, especially because we do this podcast, but any time that the Browns play poorly, it's not fun to talk about. But it's also even worse when the effort's not there. Oh. And it just seems like they just don't care. That's what sucks.
I can tell you this. I thought about you this weekend. I was like, the Heisong household was not well because of college football on Saturday with Notre Dame and Browns football on Sunday. It's like, oh, that was not a good household of the weekend. I was like, oh, man. But yeah, it was painful to watch. It was not fun. It really reminded me, quite frankly, no matter what quarterback was behind center, running for his life, getting killed, Can't catch a ball. I mean, it just reminded me of the Browns of old. I mean, like, I felt
it reminded me of 2019 with all the hype going into that season. And then they open with the Tennessee Titans and just get curb stomped. And one thing that the Titans players after that game said was that team had no heart. And it was true. And one thing I see this comment here, no leaders on the team. It seems that way. It really seems that way. When in times of crisis or even in times of bliss, when you're winning, you know, you look to these guys, who's being the vocal leader out there on the field? Didn't really see it. And body language was poor. It just sucked. It wasn't fun. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll put that to bed. We'll look ahead to the next. But Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners about Believeland Power Washing?
Guys, if you haven't tried out Believeland Power Washing or landscaping, that is, give them a try. They will take care of you. They're amazing. By the way, we're going to have a giveaway be listed here probably tomorrow that'll go out and showing everybody that they can win basically a free power wash of their home. Who doesn't want that, right? But go to Believeland Power Washing. Check them out. Go look at all the wonderful things they do. And by the way, if you need landscaping, it's not too soon to check that out and go get that done for this year. Before it freezes here in Cleveland, because, you know, we're only a couple months away from freezing. And then, of course, then, you know, you can plan for next spring. And Allie, to your question, I did reach out to Hayden's folks and Joe Hayden. I don't know if something came up, but we'll keep you guys posted on him coming on the show. I did text him, but it went green. So you know what that means if you're an iPhone person. So we don't know. So we'll find that out. Hey, if he can't come on tonight, I'm sure he'll make it up to us and come on a later show. Because he's always a great interview and he has a lot of energy when he comes on.
Yeah, most definitely. Also, we want to tell you about our friends over at Hartville Marketplace and Flea Market. If you haven't been down to Hartville yet, you need to go. On the inside, they have over 3 acres of indoor shopping, over 50 unique shops, fully heated, fully air conditioned. So it doesn't matter what time of year that you go or step outside if you don't mind taking on the cold. The upcoming cold for the Northeast Ohio winters, 12 acres collector's paradise, over 1,000 vendors. They are open Mondays, Fridays, Saturdays, year round. Got antiques, treasures, fresh produce, coffee, food, what have you. Go check them out at the Hartville Marketplace and Flea Market. And with that, let's go ahead and bring on Dr. David Ullery. This is the Medical Moment brought to you by our friends over at Lorello Vineyards.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof, woof.
Hello, welcome to Lorello Vineyards, Larry and Kim Lorello. We have a beautiful Here We Go Brownies wine that we would like to offer to you this season as we did last season. We have several other award-winning wines, lovely entertainment and events coming this summer. So come and see us. Wine a bit. You'll feel better.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you at the Muni lot this fall. Go Browns.
All right, let's bring him on, Dr. David Ullery, orthopedic surgeon, to the podcast. Unfortunately, David, we have a lot to talk about. Coming off of a pretty nasty loss to the Dallas Cowboys, not only in terms of play, you lose a couple of guys in the process. Let's get into it. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, definitely some bad news coming out of that, and the trend from last season continues this season, unfortunately. Boy, where can we start? So, I'll just kind of do a little rundown and we can, you know, get into the weeds of whomever you want to, and who we think is a little bit more pertinent or vital. I mean, for starters, probably the most impactful, I would say, is probably Njoku. We know that he sustained a high ankle sprain, which we know plagues this league just because of the way people are tackled, the way you're twisting and turning and getting wrapped up. And so he's out at least a week. We know for sure he's not playing this upcoming weekend. Beyond that remains to be seen. It just depends on how severe this was and how he can get back to running, planting, cutting, pivoting. Certainly they did not place him on the IR. So I think there's some optimism that it won't be more than a week or two, but these are soft tissue injuries. These are things that can kind of linger and be a little bit harder to deal with than you may believe. So certainly that's someone that's going to be missed this weekend, and we have to keep a close eye on as we move forward. In terms of more significant injuries, we have four, as Allie already said earlier, that were placed on the IR. Diabate with his hip injury, which could be any number of things. I mean, you could have something as basic as a contusion. You could have a labral tear. Certainly a dislocation, although I think we would have gotten a little bit more notification of that because that's a pretty big deal. It also could be a hip flexor muscle, which we've seen, or even a sports hernia, which we had to deal with last season as well. And so there's any number of injuries that could fall under the diagnosis of a hip injury, and there's not a ton of detail on what it is. But either way, we know he's out for at least 4 weeks. Similarly, Tony Fields was listed to have an ankle injury along with Maurice Hurst. So really a big bummer for both of these guys. They just can't seem to get healthy. Mo Hurst with his pec injury last year and now this ankle. They got no details, so we can't say whether these are high ankle injuries or standard ankle sprains. Regardless, ankle injury that puts them on the IR is a little bit more severe because, as we said, Njoku's not on the IR for his high ankle sprain. And then finally, Juan Thornhill, back on the IR with his calf injury. This calf injury has been plaguing him for a year now, and it's just not getting better. And again, we talked about this last year, and we can talk about it more this year too, but these soft tissue muscular injuries, especially in the calf, for someone whose main movement in football is backpedaling, can be a pretty significant issue. I mean, you know, moving around laterally, backpedaling, there's a lot of pressure, strain, stress, stretch put on the calf muscle itself, and it's very easy to re-injure that as you go through it. So, I mean, those are the big four ones. Otherwise, you know, Stefanski did say that he felt like Jed Wills and Jack Conklin were expected to practice, but unfortunately he was wrong on that, and Wills was held out of practice yet again. So just not really any optimism for the offensive line there, as Wills is not practicing. But again, at least I guess we had Jack practicing in a limited manner, so he's at least back to practice, which helps. Other people on the injury report: Miles Harden with a shin injury did not practice. Charlie Hewlett was still limited in practice with his foot injury. We know about Njoku. Dalvin Tomlinson was limited with his knee injury. Jedrick Wills did not practice. And Alex Wright with a triceps and elbow was limited in practice as well. Oh, and Joel Bitonio was limited with an elbow injury. And then you look at the flip side, just looking forward to Jacksonville. They have three on their injury report: safety Daniel Thomas, offensive tackle Cam Robinson, and cornerback Tyson Campbell. Two of them were limited. Tyson Campbell did not practice, but much smaller and shorter list, something we are not familiar with.
That's a lot going on there. And it is just the second, going into the second week of the season. One thing, if you don't mind clarifying, just because I recently learned the difference, and I'm sure like a lot of other people have the same question, just kind of differentiating what the difference is between just a regular ankle injury or ankle sprain versus a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, of course. I know that that comes up a lot just because they do specify that. And it's always kind of confusing. So, standard ankle sprain is what you think of when you're playing basketball or you're just out running and you roll your ankle. You kind of land on the outside edge of your ankle and it rolls inward. That's typically what we refer to as an ankle sprain. It's just a lower standard ankle sprain because it's a lot more common. It happens more frequently. We've all done it. We all have a bad ankle, and it's usually a little bit easier to recover from depending on the severity of it. Graded on a scale of 1 to 3, majority of them are grade 1. Don't require x-rays, don't require surgery, just need some rest, ice, compression, and elevation, the classic treatment of Rice, and then some therapy. A high ankle sprain, on the other hand, is a sprain of the ligaments that connect the two leg bones together, so the tibia and the fibula, at the joint near the ankle, but above the ankle joint itself, there's some ligaments that hold those bones together. When you have an injury to those, it can be a little bit more problematic because it typically signifies a little bit higher energy injury. And sometimes you even have a fracture of the fibula up near the knee associated with it. Usually it requires an external rotation of the foot relative to the leg, and that causes some tearing of those ligaments. And it's not so much an instability of the ankle joint itself, but again, instability between the two bones in the leg, the tibia and the fibula. And this causes a lot of pain just because the fibula is not as secure and moves around a little bit more. And it's just a different type of injury and more worth loading. Loading and compression were causes that pain. So it's harder to deal with even with straight line running, just because you can't really stabilize it. With an ankle injury, an ankle sprain, you can use a brace, you can use tape, you can stabilize that fairly easily, kind of lock it down, and you can still run. With a high ankle injury, there's no real good way to stabilize it with bracing or taping. And so it requires a little bit more TLC to get that thing healed.
Now, in terms of the recovery, you know, there was a couple of these guys that were put on IR just due to a regular ankle. Now, we don't have all of the information to know exactly what kind of ankle injury we're looking at there. It just says ankle. But with David Njoku, looks like he is going to miss week 2. But possibly optimistic about a near-ish future return. Is it more likely, you know, that you can return sooner on a high angle, or is it just this situation?
Yeah, typically not. You know, in my experience and kind of what we see is a high ankle sprain, like I said, they're a little bit more traumatic. They require a little bit more higher energy. And so typically these are the ones that you see linger and people put on the IR and are out for longer. I mean, they're relatively rare compared to a regular ankle fracture, only representing 13% or ankle sprain, excuse me, only representing about 0.5% of all ankle sprains. And so 0.5%, not 50%, 0.5%. And so I am a little bit surprised to see, you know, two guys on the IR with ankle injuries, unless they're fractures that we aren't aware of. But yeah, for Njoku, it just must be, you know, a pretty mild case of this, kind of a grade one, you know, partial tearing, not complete tearing of those ligaments. And so being able to, you know, have optimism to come back within a couple of weeks is definitely a plus, because this can be a pretty severe injury that takes time to recover from and even require surgery. And so I think it's definitely optimistic to hear that he's coming back, but also a cause for optimism knowing he wasn't placed on the IR.
Mm-hmm. Quick question from our friend George. Do you think ice baths are best, or steam or hot tub for recovery? Which one works best?
George, it's a great question. And I actually think a combination of the two really is quite effective. Ice and ice baths are really great for reducing inflammation. You know, we always hear and talk about players getting in the ice tank or the ice tub after a game, and it really is to reduce the inflammation as quickly as possible. Inflammation is, you know, good and bad. It has both sides. Certainly inflammation is needed for healing. The body has to bring fluid, which brings healing factors to an injured area. And so naturally, when you bring some fluid to the area, it's going to swell, it's going to cause inflammation, and that's painful. So in a way, it's part of the body's natural response to injuries and healing things. And so it's important, but it also can limit your mobility and limit your ability to perform. And so you have to find the right balance. Ultimately, ice is great because it reduces the inflammation, but it also kind of numbs things. And so it can help with pain control and pain relief as well. Heat, on the other hand, definitely helps relax the muscles, reduce tension. And so it can be used as an adjunct for tight muscles. So more, I see more frequently used, or I think a better application is sort of pre-activity. It helps you warm up those muscles to help reduce injury after that. But again, I tell my patients after surgery, after surgery or injuries, to alternate, do what feels best. Again, ice is better for reducing inflammation and swelling, so it will help with pain control, but heat is going to help kind of warm things up, loosen up some tissue, and give you a little bit more mobility and freedom of movement in that sense.
That makes sense. Dustin, what you got?
Yeah, David, you know, as we look and go into this week, obviously with all the guys going on IR and stuff like that, what is your biggest concern as you watch this game going into Jacksonville? What position group, based on the injuries, is the one that concerns you the most based on the injuries and what we have going into week two?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think from my standpoint, kind of looking at what our injury report looks like, I'm still going to go to the offensive line. I don't think we have much to worry about with Betonio or Nick Harris. Nick Harris was a full participant in practice with a knee injury, likely just a contusion. Joel Betonio was limited with his elbow, could be a sprain, could be a contusion. I mean, elbow can be some concern with an offensive lineman, especially a mobile one or a pulling guard, just because you got to get out there and use that arm to help with blocking, or even at the line of scrimmage, kind of, you know, giving a forearm shiver to somebody, or kind of standing up and absorbing that blow from the attack of a defensive line. And so I know it's kind of redundant or maybe kind of an easy answer, but I still think my biggest concern lies with the offensive line, especially knowing that Jedrick Wills did not practice today. There were reports that he was coming back, and unfortunately he did not. And that's concerning, because again, he has not practiced. Let me repeat that. Since his injury in last season, he has not practiced. And we already know that he was behind the eight ball and needed practice, because he was a liability on the line, frankly. And so to know that he has not returned to practice yet, and we don't really know the timetable for it, is concerning. And I'm still worried about that. And when you combine that with, you know, the way Deshaun's been playing and just his hesitancy to throw it deep and his very quick reaction to just bail from the pocket, whether that's and who knows, maybe that's his mistrust in the offensive line, or maybe he's just getting happy feet and getting a little scared himself. We don't know. But you combine those two things, and it does not portend a good outcome for the passing game yet again. And so hopefully, like Deshaun said, they'll figure it out this week, but the offensive line is still a big concern.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised in the post game availability from Deshaun Watson. He was asked about his shoulder, the injury that he sustained last year. As we know, it was a glenoid fracture. Do I have that right, David? Did I say that right?
There you go.
So
you nailed it.
coming off of that, you know, we were pretty optimistic that there would be really no lingering effects for the most part. It's healed. He's good to go. Move on. But the way he was asked and then answered was basically along the lines of my shoulder got me through the game. Like it is what it is kind of thing. Kind of the wording wasn't super optimistic. Any insight on that? Like, could it just be Deshaun just saying that, like just kind of have some kind of crutch, or do you think that it's true that there could be some lingering issues?
Well, there's certainly, I mean, I guess in theory and in practice, there definitely could be some lingering issues. We know that he had, you know, a little bit of a soft tissue injury prior to the fracture in that shoulder. And so that limited him earlier on in the season. And then to move forward with the fracture and try to recover from that, it's a lot of trauma to the shoulder, no matter what. Like we said, bone heals fairly well. And so it's not, I don't think it's a matter of the bone or the fracture causing him issues, but it certainly could be the soft tissue around it and just his muscle strength. It may be that he doesn't trust the shoulder yet either. And that could play a big role in his mental ability to throw the ball downfield and feel like it's going to go where he wants it to. I mean, we saw on a number of passes that he was just missing, flat out missing. Yeah. And that could be a result of him not trusting the shoulder, but also maybe not feeling like he has control of it still. Again, the bone healed fine. I'm not worried about that, but he still has to have that dynamic precision control to place the ball where he wants to within a 3-foot radius, if you will. And so it could be him just kind of using that as a crutch for poor performance from a mental standpoint, but I wouldn't doubt if he came out and said like, hey, shoulder's really not 100%. I don't have the velocity or arm power to make the throws I need to. And that's been holding me back still. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's not a good alternative option for this team. And you have to at least give him a shot at getting back to it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is supposed to be the franchise quarterback. So,
yeah, we shall see. David, thanks for taking the time for us. We appreciate it.
David, as always, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
That is Dr. David Ullery. Before we bring on our next guest, Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners about Teresa's Pizza?
Guys, if you don't have Teresa's Pizza, get it today at Mayfield Heights and University Heights here in Cleveland, Ohio. Since 1969, it has been Cleveland-style pizza. That's right. It's Cleveland-style pizza. Not too thick, not too thin, but Cleveland-style pizza, kind of right in the middle. Get your great pizza there. They got party packs. They've got wings. They've got amazing specials for your Saturday college games that you want to go to or any of the big games on Sunday in the NFL. Check them out over at Teresa's Pizza. That's Teresa's Pizza in Mayfield Heights or University Heights. Use the code BARK, all caps, online, and receive a discount off any online order. That's use the code BARK when you go and order at Mayfield Heights or University Heights, Teresa's Pizza.
There you go. There you have it. And let's go ahead and bring on our next guest. We have Karen on with the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Karen, thanks for taking the time for us.
Sure. Thanks for having me tonight.
Yeah, hey, Karen, of course.
First and foremost, you know, got a big week coming up. I've been a little involved with this, getting all the donating items for the live auction that we got going on for September 16th with Taste of the Browns. This is our second annual being a part of this. It's amazing what you guys do. It's exciting. It does a lot for the community. But thanks for taking the time tonight to come on and talk a little bit about this and tell all of our listeners, I guess more importantly, what they have to look forward to if they haven't bought their ticket yet, the online auction, and how these proceeds and your relationship with the Taste of the Browns, where these funds go to help the greater Cleveland community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are looking forward to Taste of the Browns this coming Monday, September 16th. It is at the Huntington Bankfield now in the City View Club Lounge. And so we basically take over that whole lounge area. We have amazing restaurants, beverage purveyors, up to 40 that you can come and taste from throughout the evening. We also have lots of players and alumni that will be in attendance, and they really do mingle with the crowd. So, you know, we see a lot of football fans and we see a lot of foodies at this event. And it all benefits the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. And so this really is one of our largest fundraisers of the year. You know, for every dollar donated to the food bank, we can provide enough food for three nutritious meals. And so, you know, we're hoping to raise just over $300,000 and maybe, you know, break the million meal mark for this event, which would be fabulous. That would help us as we head into the holidays, you know, and it's just so important to make sure that everyone in our community has the nutritious food they need.
Karen, that's amazing. How much prep goes into putting this event on? I mean, everything that you just rattled off, that's a lot. Now, to be able to give a lot, you've got to prepare for a lot. You know, what did that look like?
You know, it takes months to prepare for this event. We have an amazing team at the food bank between our fundraising team and our communications and events team, you know, recruiting the restaurants, recruiting the sponsors, handling all of the ticket sales, handling all of the logistics at the stadium. You know, they're great to work with. The Browns are a great supporter of this event, which is obviously key, hence the name, Taste of the Browns. But, you know, this is just one of very few events that they work with the charity to have players and alumni come. And I mean, we could have upwards of 20, you know, players and alumni in attendance. We're very fortunate to have Joel Bitonio as our player co-chair this year, as well as Hanford Dixon, who is our alum co-chair. And, you know, I was just talking to Hanford the other day. He's really looking forward to the event. He promised he was calling all of his buddies to make sure that they were going to be there. And so, you know, he's just a great guy. Great supporter of the city, and looking forward to having him there too.
So, Karen, that was eloquently put. Tell me a little bit about specifically, we've talked about this, and this number always kind of shocks me. How many people in the greater Northeast Ohio area go hungry every night?
Yeah,
you know, is alarming to me.
It's really heartbreaking in a way to think about it. We served over 400,000 people last year. And we cover six county territory in Northeast Ohio, from not only Cuyahoga County, but to Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, down to Ashland, Richland County. And what's even more shocking, I think, is of those 400,000 people, last year, 100,000 of them, so that's 25%, turned to the food bank and one of our partners for the very first time. They had never before needed help. And so many people are like, oh, the pandemic's over, you know, people are probably getting back on their feet. Yes, but there's still a lot of challenges. I mean, if you go to the grocery store, you see it. The cost of groceries is so high. Inflation is still an issue. You know, we just got hit with the storms about a month ago now. And boy, those storms really, you know, hit so many people so hard. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you don't have power for a week, you know, you lose all your food, it is a real gut punch for a lot of people. And so fortunately, you know, the food bank, we're there to provide food for people year round. But we're also there to make sure that people have it in their time of need and in emergency situations too.
So Karen, I live in Florida. I'm not going to be able to make it, you know, but for those individuals that don't live locally and can't make it to this event, what are some other ways that they could help?
Absolutely. So actually, our auction is live right now. So you don't even have to go to the event to be able to support the event. You can go online at greatercleveland.org/taste, check out our auction. We have over 50 items as part of our auction, and we really have something for everyone. Yes, there's lots of tickets to upcoming Cleveland sporting events, as well as lots of autographed items like a Myles Garrett autographed helmet, Emmanuel Clase from the Guardians, an autographed baseball. Denzel Ward. He's a hometown guy. We've got an autographed jersey. But we also have great restaurant packages, you know, some holiday packages as we head into the fall season for Halloween or Christmas. So lots of options for folks to browse through and to be able to help support. So that is obviously one way. You don't have to necessarily be at the event, but you can definitely check out our auction. And of course, you can make a donation to the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. So, you know, we're happy to accept those too. We are heading into the busy holiday season. We expect to distribute, I think, 7 truckloads of turkeys this fall in the month of November alone. And so it is definitely a busy time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Karen, I was going to say, we were excited to obviously donate a basket, number 37, if anybody goes out to the live auction. You'll be able to get a wonderful $125 bottle of the Here We Go Brownies whiskey, a selection of Lorello wine, and then, of course, a tailgate VIP package with Larry and his bus. So 6 people can go and be VIP'd for a tailgate, which is a lot of fun. Allie, we know how much fun that will be for those 6 people. Oh, yeah. To be VIP and get it
up to Cleveland,
and get a special gift. And there's a Bernie Kosar autographed football on there. So I think that people will be, people will be really excited about that. But you're right. I did have one question about this. The online auction, does that go into, if people do come to the event, can they still bid on those things that night as well for those online auction items?
Absolutely. So all of the bidding goes on throughout the evening. We also have a couple additional raffle items that will be available just that night. That includes a bar cart where there's lots of everything you really need for your tailgate. It's got a great cooler with it filled with lots of different alcohol. It's got a gift certificate, I think, to Mr. Brisket, which is a local place here where you can go out and get your local meat for your tailgate party. So that raffle will be happening that night. And then also we're going to be raffling off a Browns helmet where you can buy a raffle ticket and get the chance to win the helmet that will be autographed by Joel and Hanford at the event. Nice. And it'll be personalized for you. So that can be a pretty cool takeaway. So those couple things are only available at the event, but the auction is live and will continue throughout that evening.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff. I was looking through there. I was like, man, people donated a lot of amazing things to the auction.
I went ahead and in the comments, everybody dropped the link. You can go check that out online. So please be sure to do so. And if you're not able to go, maybe consider donating or checking out that live auction. But Karen, thank you so much for taking the time. It's great to hear from you and just learn more about the event, but also the longer lasting impact, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We really appreciate your support. We look forward to having you guys there that evening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you, Karen.
It's still available. So definitely, check that out.
Yeah, we'll put the ticket link in there for people so they can see that for the event. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Karen. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right,
go Browns.
That is Karen. So there you guys have it. Please check out that link there in the comments to learn more. Before we turn it over to the next segment here, and we do apologize. I know we advertised with Joe Hayden tonight. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to make it. We will get him on at a later date. But Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners about Lady Caroline? I know you've even been on it.
Yeah, I've been on it. Lady Caroline took an evening cruise out on Lady Caroline around the greater Lake Erie of Cleveland. I mean, look at that shot. Who wouldn't want to be taken off and pulling out of the Cuyahoga onto Lake Erie? But what's really cool, Allie, they also have amazing lunch time. If you need to just kind of like, you need a 2-hour just decompress, you know, restart your day, go out there on the Lady Caroline. They have some great lunch cruises, evening cruises, day cruises, but it's amazing what those guys do. And it just takes out of Cleveland. So Lady Caroline, go book your trip today and check those guys out.
And while you're at it, I want to tell you about our friends over at 5-Iron Golf. Guys, whether you're just starting to get into golf or maybe you're a seasoned vet, maybe it's raining in Cleveland and you don't want to be out in the elements, head on over to 5-Iron Golf. It is golf that is inclusive for everybody. So be sure to go check them out. You can go play a couple of courses there on the simulators. You can just practice your swing. They've got food, they've got drinks, they've got it all. So be sure to go check out our friends over at 5-Iron Golf. It's really, really a good time. All right, Dustin, let's turn it ahead to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know we were at nauseam. We talked about what this team looked like on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. It sucked, but hopefully they can turn things around just enough to come away with not only a win on Sunday against Jacksonville, but for things just to look right. I know we mentioned a couple of things of what we expect has to happen in order to do so. But any key players that you think are going to be able to step up into a bigger role? David Njoku's out. Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, those guys, they've got to step up. Elijah Moore, they've got to step up. Jerome Ford, who do you think needs to really step up in a big way, not only as a player, but also a leader?
You know, I think if he wants to really cement himself for this football team, I saw some flashes with Jerry Jeudy on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think there can be some amazing things with Jerry Jeudy. So I look for him to have a better, even better game than he did this last Sunday. But Jerry Jeudy, specifically on offense, I'm excited to see what he can do. He's pretty dynamic. Amari Cooper, unfortunately, Amari Cooper was running the wrong route. Was running the right routes, but he was being 8 yards overthrown. So obviously, if we can get the ball to Amari Cooper, I'd like to see. And more importantly, the keys to this game for me, Allie, is just distributing the ball. If you can get it to 5-6 different people out there on the field on Sunday, I think that turns into a win. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get the ball to someone like Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, you know, Ford in the flat for a touchdown. The guys like that, that you can go out there and get these guys all kind of, you know, complimentarily getting, well, just spreading the ball and spreading the love around with the football, I think, well, one, cause the defense pause for the Jacksonville Jaguars and actually be successful for the Browns. But you really have to really spread the ball around and get it into as many playmakers as you can. To me, that's the key to the victory, is just distributing that ball around to as many people as you can this Sunday.
Joe, you know, this is a funny line. The whole offensive line has to step up. Like, yes, it sounds ridiculous, right? That they need to, but ultimately they have to. And not only with their performance, but without the pre-snap penalties, they need to be lined up correctly. They need to be, no false starts, obviously no holding post-snap. We really got to clean that up, because when you are just completely, behind the sticks there, there's no real way of winning those football games when you are consistently down on yourself like that. So I agree. And also, it's kind of funny that, you know, this is a funny statement too. Next three games are must wins. Crazy that at this point in the season that we're saying that, but it's true, especially this matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is an AFC matchup. You got to come away with a win. This is also a Jacksonville team that's probably pissed off in their own right. They lose to Miami. And I'm sure they're not thrilled about that. They're going into this game with a similar attitude. But, I mean, this is more of a must-win game for the Cleveland Browns than I think it is for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
A lot more to prove by this Browns team. So, again, I just want to see it look right. I just want to see Deshaun look a little bit more comfortable, you know, if he's out there. Not as soon as the ball snapped, he's got panic in his eyes and he's running around like crazy. Now, one thing that Deshaun is good at is he can make plays with his feet. He can make guys miss. He's always been good at that, and I want to give him credit there. But being able to distribute the football, that's a problem. We said that was a key to a victory against the Cowboys. If Deshaun can just be an average quarterback and distribute the football to the playmakers, you're going to be in this game.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, and we were not in the game. So really, really need to be able to do that this game. And it's even harder because you're out several players, and it's just, it's tough. It's tough to be optimistic, but here we are. We have to be. We've got to look, shed some light as we look ahead to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I do think that we're going to see a better effort performance out of all of the guys. And I think that was half of the battle last week. So that is one positive twist we can put on it. Before we turn it over to our game picks, a couple of other disgusting things. The Pittsburgh Steelers were the only divisional winners on Sunday. So that sucks.
and by the way,
loss. Cincinnati was too.
I was going to say, I think if all the games that people thought would be the one that would be in the L column, it was that one. So, that's crazy to me.
Not great. We're not the only ones with an embarrassing loss. I think that was probably maybe even a little bit worse, losing to one of the worst teams in the National Football League or one of the most anticipatedly bad teams in the National Football League in New England. But that's okay. That's okay. It's a long season, so we'll see how this ultimately plays out. But before we turn it over to our game picks, Dustin, why don't you tell our listeners also about Greater Cleveland Aquarium?
Yeah, the Greater Cleveland Aquarium, guys, if you haven't been there, we actually had a giveaway where we gave away some amazing tickets for a family four-pack of folks to go there. But it is amazing. If you have children, grandchildren, or adults, it is a super cool venue to go and check out. Takes you, I mean, you can take an hour or 2 hours. It's kind of at your own pace. It's kind of your own self-guided tour. But you can learn so many cool things. What I found so amazing going to the Greater Cleveland Aquarium was how amazing the different species they have from all over the world, not to mention that shark tunnel that you see there, where you can actually have the sharks basically swim about 6 inches from you or less, you know, which is kind of crazy. But no, it's really cool. And it's right there down in Cleveland, right there on the pier. So it's really cool. Yeah. So check it out. So
also want to tell you about our friends over at City Barbecue. Look, one thing I love on game day, obviously, is a Browns win, but I like barbecue. I think that's one of my favorite go-to game day foods. Head on over to your local City Barbecue. Home is where the smoke is what they say. Yeah. They've got it all. Whether you like your brisket, pulled pork, chicken, sausage, turkey breast, they got ribs. Don't even get me started on the sides. They do it right. It's an award-winning menu, so be sure to check them out and go get your smoke on. Home is where the smoke is. I like that over at City Barbecue.
Yeah, they've got your party packs and stuff like that for your game day. And like I said, with 11 locations in Northeast Ohio, lots of locations right in your backyard to go check them out. Every time I go into the community, I'm like, oh, there's City Barbecue. I can go check it out. But yeah, by the way, you're right. Who doesn't love some amazing barbecue?
I do. I love it. I love it on game day. It always works. It always wins. So let's turn it over to our picks. I came away with a win last week, Dustin. So I am up 1-0 on you. But as we look ahead to this week, some more difficult matchups. We're going to start it out Thursday Night Football. Bills at Dolphins. Who you got?
Bills at Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I'm going Bills on this. And you know why? Okay. Bills look damn good on Sunday. They look like they have it all together. I'm going with Bills.
They were down. They were down early and worked their way back. I'm gonna go with the Dolphins on this one. I think that they find a way to win down there in Miami. Next up on the list, the Niners at Vikings.
Niners at Vikings. Niners probably have to bounce back. Did the Vikings win on Sunday?
They did.
Okay. I think the Niners win this one on the road. I think, again, they're too good of a team, in my opinion. I think, is McCaffrey going to be back? We don't know, right?
We don't know.
Okay. I'm still going to go with the 49ers. I think they're too good of a football team, so I'm going to go with them getting a squeaker on the road.
Yeah. Give me the Niners here. Seahawks at Patriots.
Actually, this is going to sound crazy. I'm going to take the Patriots. Okay. I think the Patriots are playing good defense. They're playing complementary offense. Jacoby Brissett, it's interesting. I mean, Stump brought up a really good point. He thinks that Jacoby Brissett's going to have his best statistical year this year. I believe the coach. I mean, he's a pretty smart guy. But again, just like the Browns on Sunday, you don't have to be Superman. Just go out and play complementary football. And we know Jacoby Brissett can do that. So, yes, give me the Dolphins. Or give me the.
All right, I'm taking the Seahawks here. Giants at Commanders.
Giants at Commanders. This is a garbage game.
Yeah. It's a barf bowl.
A barf bowl. Yeah, that's a first on our show. A barf bowl. I love it. Yeah. Give me the Commanders at home.
Yeah, Commanders. Giants are abysmal. Chargers at Panthers.
Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers here. Saints at Cowboys.
Cowboys are
good. Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys at home, yeah. Colts at Packers.
Packers. They got to bounce
back. So, yeah, but
well, is Jordan Love
Malik
out?
Willis, he's out, yeah.
Oh,
MCL, he's out.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Colts here. You got Malik Willis.
Wait, hang on. Is it at Green Bay?
It's in Lambeau.
I'm gonna go with Green Bay.
Okay. Green Bay. All right. I'm gonna go with the Colts here, who I thought looked like pretty darn good last week. Browns and Jags.
Take the rose colored glass off. Just kidding. You know what? I'm gonna go with the Browns because I really do think they're gonna come out different. And they're going to look different. I'm going to take the Browns actually on this.
Yeah, game. I'm going to take the Browns here too. I do think they bounce back in this game. Jets at Titans.
I'm going to go Jets.
I'm going to go Jets. Bucks at Lions.
I'm going to go Bucks. Upset on the road.
I am too. I'm going to go with the Bucks here. I think that they've got some things figured out. Lions look good, but I am going to go with the Bucks in this one, in Detroit. Raiders at Ravens.
Ravens.
Yeah, I mean the Ravens. Rams, Cardinals.
It's at Arizona or is it at LA?
It's in Arizona.
I don't think it really matters. Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams. Bengals at Chiefs.
I don't know what's going on with Mr. Joe Burrow's wrist, man, but I'm going
not Chiefs. Good. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. Steelers at Broncos.
I think the Broncos win. I think the Broncos win this one because of the – it's tough to win at Mile High. And I think – again, I don't think it's – I think it's going to be a very ugly game like the Atlanta frickin' Steelers game. I just think – I think the Broncos are going to eke one out here. I do.
All right. I'm going to take the Steelers. Pains me to say, but I'm going to take the Steelers here. I know. Bears at Texans, Sunday night football.
Bears at Texans. Yeah, I think the Texans, they're a damn good football team.
Yeah, it's Texans. And then Monday night, we've got the Falcons at Eagles.
Eagles. I'm going to go Eagles. Eagles look pretty good football team. They look like they got it. I mean, they look right? And so I'm going to go with Eagles here.
Yep. I agree with you. All right. And before we wrap, we got to talk about our friends over at Western Reserve Distillers. Dustin, tell our listeners.
Guys, if you haven't tried out the Here We Go Brownies over at Western Reserve Distillers, they're in Lakewood, Ohio. Check them out, by the way. They have the 20-year rye. We have the 7-year and the 6-year bourbons as well. But tonight was a great night to go there. It's whiskey, wine, and wings, 50-cent wings. The whiskey, you get a flight for $12, three of our whiskeys and an extra one and half off of bottles of wine. I mean, who doesn't want that? A half off. So great place to take your friends, your girlfriends, family members, go check them out. Great food, by the way, great little, scene there, right there in downtown Lakewood, just west of downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it. Dustin, you know, this wasn't fun. It wasn't a fun podcast to do when you have to kind of talk about the Browns in the way that we did, but necessary. Like it is what it is. This is what this show is. We're going to be honest and I'm fine with being critical of the Browns when they deserve it. And rightfully so. Any closing thoughts as we wrap up on a beautiful Wednesday evening?
Well, Ali, it's not too hard when the entire nation is critical as well. So, right. So you don't feel bad. Right. I mean,
I don't.
But here's the truth, though. We can go back to the COVID era, Allie, and I feel like at times we were having crappy Browns talk every week. So hopefully this is not a continuation every week going into the future, right? I can remember I can remember painfully us trying to do a post-game show after that Jets game, and I just wanted to, like, throw something through a wall after the Browns had a 99 point whatever percentage chance of winning that football game.
And I mean, Joe Flacco led them to a win. Joe Flacco led the Jets to a win.
Maybe Cleveland should listen. I don't know. Anyway, Allie, I just want to come back here on Monday and have it be a victory Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that we can talk about and be excited going into. Because if we win, Allie, I feel a little better, right? On the season.
Oh yeah.
Well, think about it. If you win this game, you're 1-1 and you're coming home and you're hosting the Giants, which, let's just be honest, I guess I know every football team is, you know, they're professionals, but that's a team you should absolutely beat at home, right? Yeah. So then you're at 2-1 and maybe things are starting to look normal again, right? you know, like things are starting, like that's why I think this game next week is also a confidence builder for this team as well going back home. Because after these first five or six games, Allie, it gets tough for a while and the games don't get easier. As we know, we have the toughest schedule in the NFL based on strength of schedule of last year. So it's not going to be an easy season. So you got to get it right and you got to get it right this week.
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, Browns fans, go Browns.
Go Browns.